Yeah, so the quick answer is I don't know. I mean honestly, God put a call on my heart. I went to Bible school first, and back in the day when I went to Bible school, you had three options. You could take theological studies as a four-year degree, and you could take church planting, and the other one was missions. And when I saw missions, I said, no, that's definitely not what I want. And I was serious. I thought, okay, there's enough missions right here. Why would anyone want to go? And that's like first week in Bible school. And after graduating later with two theological things, I'm working across the street, and I'm doing a Bible study in Chase, Maryland for 13 years. And I was ordained as a pastor here, and very content with life here and what I was doing. And a phone call changed everything. Pastor Shala called me at work. And it was interesting because I had prayed that, if this is really what you want, God, I would, I really want to be open to receive that desire. But it just wasn't there. I mean, missions was not something that, it was just not, certainly not what I wanted. So I got this phone call. And it's Pastor Schaller, and I'm in one of the buildings across the street with a tool bag, and I decide I'm going to sit on the floor. This has got to be interesting. He says, Pastor Roger, we came to a decision among the elders that we need somebody to go to Turkey to teach the Bible, and Pastor Matty is requesting that somebody would come, and we think you should be the person. And I'm speechless, I'm listening to his voice. He says, hello, are you there? I'm like, yes, I'm here. I said, when would you like me to go? Thinking, a month or so. He says, tomorrow would be good. So, and to make a long story short, I went. I've been there 5 years now, but this was before that. And there's a certain theme about the call of God that always seems to hold true. And it came from a very old pastor that I love deeply that went home to be with the Lord. His name is Pastor Palmer. And he helped me in my call to Bible school when I wasn't sure about Bible school. And he looked me in the eye. He used to wear glasses, and he would look above the glasses like this when he got serious. And so he looked at me like this, and he says, you need to go to Lenox and prove the will of God if that's for you. You just go, and God will make it clear whether you should be there or not. And it turned out to be great counsel because I went. And as soon as I drove onto the campus, I knew. And the same with Turkey. I went to Turkey not thinking that this was something I would be called to, but in going, God speaks. And so I highly recommend visiting places. If you're one of the, you're like me, you like to kind of figure things out and you're not sure, why not go and pray? But get some action and faith moving in that direction. And God's very capable of making it clear. So when I went first time to Turkey, I saw people. And it was two things that really made this solid in my heart. The first one was the music, which is really strange, but the music was so anointed, and it was in another language. And the Turkish music worship songs were powerful. And that just really did something. And then the people there that had this joy in their heart that they discovered Christ and they were from different countries was beyond words. So when I came back home, my wife also had already, she was like a step ahead. She's like, I think you're called to Turkey. I said, well, let's see what God says about that. And when I came back, it was settled. So, amen.
That's awesome. Thank you, Pastor Roger. Now we'll have somebody who is going to give a testimony about supporting missions. Mike Kelly, please come on. You can introduce yourself also.
Can you do it in 5 minutes? I will try. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Monty. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike Kelly. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. Never have been. Probably never will be. I don't feel that that's my gifting. However, I have been privileged to know Pastor Carl from India, Pastor Rajan from Nepal. Just in brief, I've been in the precious metal business for 32 years, so I view missions through the grid of a businessman. The business started off very rocky. It was very hard. It was on a shoestring budget, and so that made me account for every penny and for every dollar, and so I approached missions the same way. I went to India on a missions trip on three separate occasions. I met Pastor Carl. Just real quick, and I'll keep this as brief as I can. Sometimes ideas come out of nowhere, and at the time they don't seem very important. But I remember on my second trip to India, we were in Pokhara, Nepal. And in fact, Rachel, I think you were on that trip. This was in 2007. And I remember we were in the hotel lobby and near Pastor Narj, where his hotel was. And the idea was floated, well, what about Radio Nepal? Is that possible? What are the upsides? What are the downsides? What are the negatives? What are the positives? Why would it work? Why would it not work? And so to their credit, Pastor Carl and Pastor Rajan pursued that idea, and today you have Radio Nepal that reaches a target audience of north of 30 million people. 30 million people in Nepal, another 800,000 in Bhutan, and also probably a few million more in northern India, for only $25,000 a year. That's $500 a week. That's huge, huge leverage. And again, I approach this as a businessman. I don't want to make everything dollars and cents. That's not always the way to approach missions, but I think that God does expect us to use our skills as a businessman and as pastors, missionaries, head of mission organizations, and to use the common sense that we've been given. And when you have that much leverage, I think it's wrong to not pursue that. And to their credit, Pastor Carl and Pastor Rajan did pursue that, and this is why you have Radio Nepal today. On top of that, to hire the manpower, the pastors, to overcome the topography, the terrain of Nepal and all 75 districts, it's virtually impossible. But every week, the gospel goes out once a week for about 25 minutes over a government-sponsored station. So you have a captive audience. If people listen to the government station, they listen to Premko Sandesh, the message of love. And Pastor Rajan is speaking that. So there are other examples. I remember the first trip to India, I was with, again, Pastor Carl. We did a crusade in Rajahmundry in the state of Andhra Pradesh on the east coast, southeast coast of India. We had dump trucks bringing the people in from the neighboring villages, and there was an opportunity at the last minute to televise it to 100,000 people. The cost was about $1,000, I think, $1,000, $2,000, something like this, but it was not in the budget, and it came up at the last minute. There were some people on that trip that pulled their funds together, and it was televised to an additional 100,000 people in addition to a live audience of 6,000 to 8,000. And I guess what I'm saying is this, and I'll wrap it up with this. Again, as a businessman, I agree with budgets. I agree with spreadsheets and staying within your means, and that's all well and good. But I think sometimes God gives you an opportunity that does not fit into your budget. And at that point, you have to throw the calculator away, sign on to it, sign the bottom line, sign the contract, and figure out after the fact how to pay for it. I realize some people may not be comfortable with that, but I would have to wrap it up with that. And so I would just leave you with that. And I think you have some really great men and women in the organization here at Greater Grace. And I've been privileged to travel with them throughout India and Nepal. So.
Thanks. I've been a missionary in several countries, and some of the countries where we had our mission team, there were a lot of other missionary teams, and some of the teams had really big support, and because they were good friends of ours, so we used half of their support. And it was so awesome because they had too much support. So then I came back to one of our conferences and I tried to challenge our church that try to give us so much support that we cannot use it anymore. That try to reach in your support giving that level that the missionary would see, please don't send any more money. We cannot use it. Well, that has not happened yet. But maybe one day we will be in that place and then it's time for Jesus to come back. But next one, is Pastor Matt here? Pastor Matt LaFlamme? Okay, then we have Pastor Mike Stables to come and speak about support also. I don't see beyond this line, so
wondering who's there and who isn't.
Yes. Well, the first thing I want to do is thank God for Suzanne, my wife, because in giving, she's been absolutely one with me for all 16 years of our marriage. She entered into a ministry of giving together with me, and it's been a delight. And that's the first point I want to make. If you want to give, seek somebody to be one with. Seek someone that you can be together with in giving, because giving is a delight, but giving one with somebody, together with them, is a double delight. And if you can do it with your spouse, then seek that out. If you're not able to do it with your spouse, then ask God to help you, because God is giving, and He wants to help you. Just a couple of things that we've seen in the years that we've been giving. Seek that oneness. A missionary goes, and he prepares to go, he plans to go, and he seeks the opportunity to go. And the same is true with giving. You prepare to give, you plan to give, and you seek the opportunities. Mr. Kelly was just talking about seeking the opportunities, hearing them, being ready for them. I want to tell a story about planning. When Suzanne and I got married, we were looking for an apartment. We had the opportunity to move into a one-bedroom. It would have cost us a certain amount of money. But we also were presented with the opportunity to move in this odd little apartment that was not really a one-bedroom. It was closer to a studio. And we chose that because we knew that $300 less, we'd be able to use it. Well, over 11 years, $300 a month is $40,000. And because of that decision, we were able to give $40,000 extra dollars to missions. Just because we made a decision to live in a slightly smaller apartment, which we were satisfied with. Then God is amazing. He's so creative. In addition to that benefit, when it came time for us to go to Trinidad, a couple in the church at that very moment had a desperate need for an apartment. If we'd had a one-bedroom, they couldn't have afforded it. But they were able to afford that one, and we could recommend them to our landlord, and they ended up with that apartment. Not only that, because we moved to Trinidad and we reduced our belongings to 3 barrels, we were able to leave the furniture of the apartment to that couple. And so God turned, you know, the one decision into 3 different blessings. Recognize how creative God is. There's 1,001 different ways to give. And He'll show them to you if you don't see. Again, ask His help. Just ask, I want to give, I don't see. He'll show you. The other thing is rejoice in the fellowship with him, because he's already giving. He's doing that ministry, just like he's already around the world, and a missionary goes and joins God in his work in a country. In the same way, God is already giving. And the person who wants to give, all they're doing is joining into the work of the Lord that's already existing. And he's allowing you a part in it. Enjoy that. Keep on giving. When we moved to Trinidad, this was amazing, Pastor Mati. When we moved to Trinidad, Suzanne and I had been giving like between, it just turned out, we weren't trying to hit this mark, but it turned out to be like maybe 20 and 23% of our gross income. We were able to give between tithe and actual offering. When we moved to Trinidad, our income was reduced to less than a quarter of what we had been living on the year before. But we prayed and we said, we'd still like to have a ministry of giving, Father. We would like that. We're trusting in you for that. At the end of that first year, I looked at what we had given and it came to the same percentage while we were living on a quarter of, less than a quarter. You know, so just keep on. Now, this year, that didn't happen. I'm not going to say that. But I'm waiting until it can happen again. You know, keep on. Count your blessings. You know, we are loaded with benefits. And that's not always easy to see, but we are. We are daily loaded with benefits. And again, if you can't see it, tell God, I want to make a list of my benefits. Help me write them down and begin to write. And from that list of benefits, you'll see all kinds of opportunity to give. This is a key one. Decide whose money you have. Is it your money or is it God's money? Because it's actually pretty easy to give away someone else's money. It's not as it's a silly way to say it, but you find out when you make that decision that it's not your money, it's his, it actually does become easier to give. It you just relax. I like to spend my money within the body of Christ. If I can buy a car, I want to buy it from you. I don't want to give it to the car dealership down the street. It doesn't always work that way, but that's the first place I look. I like art. I love art. Right? All of a sudden, this creative God brought this way for me to enjoy some wonderful art, and I was able to give at the same time. You know, that's a delight. Mr. Kelly also mentioned something. Thank you for that. Sometimes you can't give X amount of dollars, but you and four of your friends can. So that $1,000, you mentioned how several people pulled together, whereas one person might have said, oh, I can't do that, and just turned away and left the opportunity. But you can't give $1,000, but you and four friends can. The last one. No, I want to give two more, and then I'll... That's all right, Pastor Money. The last two. Agree with God without fear. God showed me that I was turning retirement into an idol. Every decision that came my way, I had to measure it how it was going to fit into retirement. So my decisions were not informed by God as much as they were informed by my imagined security in retirement. And the minute I said, yes, Lord, I'm doing that, oh, Pastor Mati, everything else just fell into place. And then the last one, if you want to give, fall in love. When you're in love, it's not hard to give. You know, the man looking for an engagement ring for his intended doesn't go out there saying, let me find the smallest, cheapest one I can find. Right? It doesn't do that. It's easy to spend money when you're in love. You know, you fall in love with Christ and you fall in love with his things. You fall in love with his people. You fall in love with the people that he's in love with. And all of a sudden, giving is so much more immediate and ready and personal and wonderful, and it makes your heart glad because you're in love with the one that you're giving with.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Yeah, giving is an opportunity, and it's really something that you don't want to miss. It's a blessing, and it doesn't always stay there. So if you don't know where to give, you can talk to me. Not giving to me, but I have a lot of places where someone could use your giving. Pastor Peter Westera, where are you? Oh, I'm looking that direction. How come you ended up in Central Asia?
Look, we are matching.
I thought the workshop was at the fellowship hall, so I wore flip-flops. I figured nobody would see. I ended up going, I'm not a missionary, but I ended up going to Central Asia usually twice a year for selfish reasons at first. I'll just tell you real quickly. I was hurting, maybe in the early 2000s. I knew something was wrong with my life. And long story short, Pastor Schaller's messages, I recognized and realized that Pastor Schaller's messages is what I needed. So I stuck very close and made a plan and discovered in 2005 that he travels. So I kind of thought maybe I could just jump on board, and I started chasing him all over the world. For about five and a half years, everywhere he went, I went all over the world. And it was amazing. And the only reason I did it is I just needed to, you know, see his life and see what he had to say and fix myself. So we traveled all over the world in 2011 on a Tuesday afternoon. I'll never forget. He called me into his office and said, we were supposed to leave on Thursday to go to Central Asia again. This probably the sixth or seventh time or something like that. And he said, I got to go see a doctor tomorrow. Something's wrong with my heart. I'll let you know tomorrow. But if I can't go, will you go anyways? So, of course, I'm sitting in his office. I'm not going to say no. And meanwhile, I didn't sleep all night and just praying that, you know, he's going to be okay. Because people at that time, they would travel like 27 hours from Samarkand to Almaty, actually, that year, you know, to hear Pastor Schaller, not me. So, of course, I got the call the next day that he was going in for heart surgery, and I'm stuck, you know. So I went to Dulles Airport that day, and actually refused to get on the plane, really, honestly. I was so nervous. I was like, this is not what I signed up for. This is exactly the opposite of what I need to be doing right now. And this was the morning. That morning he had the surgery, Thursday morning, and I'm sitting at Dulles Airport, and everyone's on the plane. I'm just on the last, and there's no one else left in the terminal or whatever at the gate. And I decided that I would just lie. I missed my flight because I was a little bit late, and it wasn't my fault that I was late. So I would just lie. I was like, oh, I missed my flight. I guess it wasn't God's will, you know? I know. God will use anybody. It's unbelievable. And then my phone rings, and it says Lisa Schaller on my phone. And I'm like, oh, boy. I answer the phone, and she says, my husband wants to talk to you, so. Here he had just woken up from surgery, and he just does his, you know, hey, you know. I'm pretty sure his arms are up in the air, hey. And he said, I'm praying for you. It's going to be amazing. So that was literally, you know, a minute later, I think the gates would have been closed. I was the last person on the plane. Got on the plane, opened my Bible. 1 9-hour flight later. Got off the plane, got on another plane, another 7-hour flight, 8-hour flight. Still my Bible open the entire time. God just feeding me and, you know, giving me peace. And I felt for the first time in my life anointed, you know, like anointed by God to do a job that I'm not qualified to do, which was an incredible experience for me. But that was in 2011, and of course, we go every year, twice a year, and it was amazing, very blessed. It's one of the greatest blessings of my life. You know, even I'm a youth leader, and I spent the entire day yesterday at Hershey Park with 70 teenagers, and I can't tell you how torturous that is to me. I have that part of my life, and I do own a business, but I need to go to Central Asia. I need to go. It saves me. You know, it just saves me. And you fall in love with the people, you go for the people, but more importantly, there's such an incredible realization that God is part of it, you know, that God is using you, that there is a call in your life, that the Holy Spirit is helping you, that that there's a purpose, a plan in your life. And that is the very thing that I needed in 2002. You know, the very thing I needed and the very thing that I was missing in my life was, you know, something amazing to live for, you know. So I'm very blessed. I love Central Asia. Please come with me. I go alone most of the time. We go to like 4 or 5 countries sometimes, and we just have an amazing time, and the people are amazing. My favorite place in the world is Samarkand. Amazing people, and I don't know how you could live without it, to be very frank. I don't know how you do what you do if you don't go on mission trips or visit people or don't have missions in your life. I don't know how you do it, because I can't imagine myself living without it, honestly. My life would be so selfish without that, you know. So just, you know, give, pray, come, jump on a plane. Nothing will happen. It's okay. It's not nearly as scary as it sounds. Pray for us. We're going to meet 120 teenagers in 2 weeks, 3 weeks in Georgia. All of the teenagers of Central Asia will meet. All of the European teenagers will meet. All of the American teenagers. So that'll be an unbelievable experience for me, just to see everybody together. But I really trust that God will use us and lives will be changed. And just pray for us, because it is crazy. There's unrest right now in Georgia, so it's a little bit difficult. But I trust God is going to see it through. And then also, just because it was mentioned, I just think that giving is just a huge part of our lives. You know, it's just a massive, massive part of your life. You can't sit through services. You can't read the Bible. You can't listen without your finances getting entangled with God's will. It has to be part of it. And I sometimes laugh, because I think there's a lot of jobs in the church. You could be I won't list the names, but you could do a lot of jobs in this church, but probably the most expensive job is to be physically involved with missions. And of course, I picked that one. And then the second most expensive job is to be a youth leader, so I picked that one also. So sometimes I wish I could just be an usher. No offense to ushers, but it'd be cheaper, I think. But, you know, it has to be that way, and I really believe in giving to the point where it can hurt, where it hurts. You know, like, I don't want to give out of, you know, ease or what I have, but I love giving when it hurts. Feels right. Like it feels like the way God would do it. If Jesus had my company or my job or my income, I think he would give to the point where it was irresponsible, till it hurt. Almost foolishly giving, especially if you compare it to how the world thinks and how the world operates. So if it's too easy, then maybe, you know, up your monthly amount. And that's all I got to say. Amen.
Do you hear that? Giving till it hurts. Wow, that's big. Fantastic, actually. A blessing, really. And you heard that word, anointing. The first time, Pastor Pete said, the first time I experienced God's anointing. This is not a small thing in missions. This is like, you know, we could put there that Pastor Sibeli's definition for missions, you know, God, Bible, church, Satan, anointing. Like God doing something amazing through us, which is so much beyond us, and we love that when we understand that that's happening and we are privileged to be a part of it. It's so powerful. All right, we have Pilvi here, and Pilvi is going to tell us how she ended up in the country where she has been a lot.
Hi, everybody. So I ended up in Far East, and there's a lot of stories I could tell you, but today I thought maybe I'm going to try to be practical. It's not always easy for me, but so how did I get there? Well, kind of early in my life, I had a lot of exposure to missions and missionaries, like Pastor Matti being one of them, Birja right there, different ones, and God put it on my heart that this is actually something that he has for my life. And so I didn't doubt it afterwards, you know. Like, I knew I had two things on my heart, to go to Bible college and to go to mission field. And Bible college is super important preparation for going, really, because it really equips you in so many ways. But knowing those two things, and being in Bible college, I started praying, you know, what would God have for me? And maybe there's, you know, I could tell a long story, but I'm not gonna. So God really answers our prayers, right? God is amazing like that. And he really, I think, desires that we talk to him a lot. So I was praying, and then through a process, God, first of all, he put a love in my heart for that particular country where I've been serving. And it was, like, really real, you know. It wasn't just a general love for the world, like we know that God loves people, but it was very specific, and it was like one of those things where the Holy Spirit pours his love in your heart. And so I started praying more for this specific country, and I felt like God confirming it to my heart step by step, until one day I was reading something, and there was just a presence of God in the room where I just knew that this is the place God wants to send me to. So, and because there was such a presence of God, I could take that as like a pillar in my life. Like, I didn't have to doubt, you know, like I knew that this is where God's leading me. Okay, so everybody has different stories. This is my story. And the next step was to talk about it with my pastor. So I was here at the time. So I talked to Pastor Schaller, and it was amazing because he really confirmed it. You know, I just told him simply what happened in my heart, and he just said, well, I think we're going to send you to that country. Now, there wasn't a team there, and I didn't know of anybody going there at that time. So, again, prayer is important. So I started to pray for the pastor, pray for his wife, you know, pray for a team. Just pray these specific things. And I prayed them over the years, maybe a total of maybe 6 years or something. So prayer, talking with my pastor, getting wise counsel. Third point, living the life right now. Like, all of us are living in a relationship with God right now, right? And we are missionaries in a way wherever we are. And it's not just one of those cliche statements, it's actually true. Like, we have a ministry. God's life is in us. So wherever we are, we're living in that relationship with God, sharing him, you know, soul winning, praying, being part of the church, studying the Bible, taking in the word. So having a personal vertical, I think, is one of the greatest preparations. Like, to develop a strong vertical before you go out. Like, let's say we're here in Baltimore, we're in a really good local church. If I get in trouble in my heart, I have a lot of people to go to. But maybe when you go to a foreign country, you have different challenges. There's the world, the devil, and the flesh that are all against this whole thing of missions. So it's really good to develop that relationship where you're hearing from God from in your study of the Bible and in prayer, and you have that strong vertical. Of course, we grow in it throughout our whole lives, and nobody's ever ready, so I'm not saying that. Then it came to the time where it was time to share the vision, you know. So I kept it in my heart for a long time, and it seemed like nothing really was maybe happening. Like, and I knew I'm going to go on a team. A team is really important. But then I was back in Finland in my home church, and all of a sudden, the time just came when people started asking, because I had mentioned it sometimes, like, I have this thought about the mission field, and people started asking, and it just came where I could share the vision that was in my heart. And through that, also God opened the doors to go very soon. So then I had to take the step of faith. When the doors open, then you just have to go through the door. And that's also sometimes a step of faith, because there is, again, the world of flesh and devil who try to tell you that maybe you're not right or something like that. So then you just take the step and you go forward in the calling. And then you see God's provisions come, and many times miraculously. I mean, we could all probably tell so many stories about how God answers prayer and he provides and he makes the way. So, I think those are maybe the main points. So just prayer, communicating with your pastor, having that strong vertical, sharing your vision, and then God opens the doors and you take the steps of faith and you just go through them. And then you see God provide and you sense that anointing in it, and it's an amazing thing.
Thank you, Billy. We have time for one question. Who has a question? Okay, now we have no more time for any questions. Any question? Yes. 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 Very good question. There is somebody who can share about that. Come here, come. Doing mission work in the United States. This is a young man who has a testimony about that. His name is Brendan.
There we go. You got here. Yes. Yes. So my wife and I, Iman and me, God called us to Florida to do mission work there, to do sex trafficking ministry. And I'm going to make this really brief because we don't have a lot of time. 3 minutes? Okay, I got 3 minutes. So we're here in Baltimore, and we're growing in the Lord, and a lot of pressure on us and me. I went through a lot of things in my life. I'm not going to go into it. But that really caused me to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. And God began to heal my life and change me. And I came to a place where he grew me in wisdom, because the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask for me, and I will give it abundantly. I'll give it generously to you. And as I grew in wisdom, I realized that his way in my life is better than any life that I could ever produce out of my own understanding, my own knowledge, by sight. And my wife agreed with me on that. We both grew in that. So we said, you know what, God, we just want your will. Whatever you want to do in our lives, that's what we want, because that's where the joy is going to be. That's where the rejoicing is going to be, as we know from the convention we keep hearing. And so we were getting these subtle invites, come to Florida and be a part of an organization that helps girls under the age of 18 who have been victims of sex trafficking. And we're like, oh, heck no. That is, and you've been hearing, you heard this earlier from the other speakers. Like, it's like, oh no, that's not us. I can barely take care of myself. My wife just, you know, I can barely even do laundry. You know, my wife had to teach me how to do that. I mean, there's just so much that I was behind on in my life. And it's like, so there's no way I could take care of a girl who's been through something like this. And these people go through certifications and training and all this stuff to be equipped for this. But then it came time where God knew that we were supposed to go. And because we were in a place available for what God wanted to do and it was time, both me and my wife both knew at the same time, like the Holy Spirit hit us, and we both knew, we looked at each other and we were like, we're going to Florida and we're doing this thing. And so we just left everything behind without even really, you know, just left the house. God took care of everything. We went. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know really how the provision was going to work out, but it absolutely did. And then I didn't know that God was going to have me start preaching and that he was going to anoint me to start preaching and teaching. So he gave me that. And that was like, I got blindsided by that. And all before I know it, now I'm preaching 2-hour messages to drug addicts coming in off the street in these faith-based drug addiction rehab centers. God just placing me in these places. And these guys are really, God is really hitting these guys with the Holy Spirit, changing their lives through me. And my wife became the tutor of the organization because they had to use her because they were desperate for... because the tutor had backed out and, well, you'll just be a substitute. Turns out she was the best tutor, the whole organization, like, that they've ever had. And God just equipped us to do all of these things. And so just to wrap it up, you know, there's all sorts of things that we can do. There's all sorts of variables. We could build wells in Kenya. We can go to this church over here. We can go to this state or do that or stay here. But what matters is where God has you or where he wants you in his timeline. And he wants to grow you in your gifts and your talents, your strengths that he has created you to do, the good works that he has preordained before the foundation of the universe. He wants to do that with you. He wants to grow you into that. And he has a perfect timeline for it so that all we have to do is be available to what he wants to do through us, through the Holy Spirit, so that when that time comes, when we're ready, when we've grown in that, that's why Bible college is so important. That's why eating the Word, getting the Word in us is so important. That's why, like, I don't remember her name, but the woman who spoke before me, the vertical is so important to prepare us for that timing so that when it comes, God, it doesn't matter if we're... If we're like, you know, with us that we're not good at in the flesh or whatever it is, that when the time comes and God knows we're ready, he's going to bring the provision. He's going to do something amazing with us that's awesome, something we could never even imagine. And it's going to be so much joy in it, and you're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. And so that's been our experience with missions in Florida. It's been awesome, amazing.
Thanks for sharing that. Thank you. That was very inspiring. Thank you. Let's stand up just for a moment. There's one word I want to bring in here before we close, and it is Bible college. Bible college. Bible college. That's preparation for missions. I visited Helsinki, Finland on my way here, and my sister happens to be living in a housing area where our first Bible school was in Helsinki. And in the morning early at 6 o'clock, because I'm an early bird, so I went out for a walk, and I was looking for the place where we had the Bible school class. It was some kind of a club, you know, like very in a strange place. And Pastor Sala was teaching all the classes. He would be teaching like 6 hours a day or something. And I went there, and the place looked so small. You know how it is, like when you think about it, it was like huge building, and then you shrunk, you know. And when I looked at that place, it stirred up my heart so much. Like I said, what a precious corner of a building here, like such a precious place. And I didn't regret for a half of a second, you know, for being in that Bible school and for letting that Bible school prepare me. Somebody asked me, how come you ended up in all those places? And the only answer is that I have no other life. I have no other life. And I'm thankful to God for this. So let's worship the Lord for 2 more minutes we have. That sounds so crazy. I always hate when we say, let's pray a little. And I say, okay, just no, let's just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We exalt your name. Your name is powerful. You have given your name to us. You have included us in your name. When they are spelling your name, we are included in that spelling. Wow, what does that mean, Lord? It's so amazing. It's so eternal, so valuable. It has so much weight. We don't want to pass by that. We don't want to miss out that. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all our brothers and sisters who are body members from different churches, denominations, serving people all over the world as you would serve them, seeking the lost as you would seek them, encouraging, comforting, sharing the good news. We love you. Bless the sessions, bless the musicians as they practice everything tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.